I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Welcome to the Traveling Black Women Podcast, where we are talking to Black women around the world. I'm your host, Nadine, and I am so excited to take you on a journey with fearless Black women exploring the world. Each episode, we uncover hidden gems, share travel hacks, and hear inspiring stories from incredible travelers who look just like you. So whether you're a seasoned globetrotter or planning your very first adventure, we've got something special for you. So stay tuned and let's dive into today's episode. Hello and welcome to season 4 of the Traveling Black Women Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Nadine Duncan, and I am thrilled to have you here. This season is all about connecting deeper, exploring further, and thriving as a community of women travelers, Black women travelers. Now, let me tell you, this season is going to be a little bit different. This season, I'll be sharing insights, tips, and stories to inspire you to get off the beaten path and explore those places that just aren't all over Instagram yet. We're going to talk about the power of exposure, how traveling changes our lives, and why every Black woman deserves the right to rest. So if you ever felt like travel wasn't for you, I am here to tell you otherwise. The world is waiting for you. So we're bringing you more episodes, more interviews, more solo chats with me, and stories that are tailor-made just for us. Stories about traveling off the beaten path, embracing rest, and celebrating that power of exposure that I just mentioned. We're going to kick off this journey today with an episode that's really close to my heart. The why we started. So I know you're thinking, why traveling Black woman? Why does traveling Black woman exist? Why is it necessary? Some of you, you know the answer to that immediately. Some of you are like, it's a conversation worth having. But as far as I'm concerned, it's very necessary. I started the Traveling Black Woman Network because I saw a gap. A huge, glaring, frustrating, undeniable gap. Black women were traveling, thriving, breaking barriers across the world, but the representation was non-existent. From ads to blogs to guidebooks, we were just missing, you know? And after living in UAE for almost 4 years, my worldview had changed drastically. You know, I found myself traveling every chance that I got, and it just made people question, like, how are you able to travel like that? You know, to those who hadn't lived abroad, because there were plenty of Black people abroad with me, there was a huge African-American community, a huge Black community in Abu Dhabi. But those who had not experienced that, it just seemed like this complete anomaly for a young Black woman, I was in my late 20s at the time, to be traveling so freely. You know, with my family being from Trinidad, which I often talk about, I have been traveling since I was a little girl. So travel wasn't so much of a far-fetched ideal to me, but traveling to other countries for leisure was, because traveling to Trinidad was just traveling home to see family. It was just kind of commonplace. But when I started traveling to explore different lands and to just be around different cultures, it really opened up something for me. You know, people, and it's crazy because people thought I had a sugar daddy. I was selling drugs, you name it. And it's crazy because, you know, I know that they were joking. And of course, they said those things in jest and all of that. But it was also clear that there was some kind of like just curiosity there. Like, how is she doing this? How is she traveling? And y'all, I was traveling off of my teacher's salary. For example, I have one winter coat that I'm just getting ready this year to put into retirement. You may have seen it on Instagram. You may have seen it on Facebook, but I'm putting the coat into retirement because my mom washed the coat when we were coming back from Austria after being stuck in the rain a couple times. And of course it had that kind of like, you know, wet smell. So she was like, okay, let me wash our coats and, you know, all of that. So, okay, get rid of the coat, did not even think about taking the hood off to preserve the fur. She brought it back upstairs, and if that fur didn't look like one big dreadlock around my face, I was like, what happened? She was like, the dryer burnt the fur. I was like, oh my gosh. Now, granted, I had had that coat since 2019, so it's been 6 years, and there were some tears and some rips, and the zipper was acting a little bit funny, so it kind of was on its last leg. But I'm one of those people that's like, it's still cute. Like, it doesn't look raggedy. The little tears, only I can see it. There's no need for me to buy a brand new coat. So I am that person who is going to not really do a whole lot of shopping. When I do shopping, I'm going to buy something that's quality, that's going to last me a few years. And I'm going to take that money and I'm going to go somewhere. You know, I don't have to sit in first class. I don't mind the budget airlines like Spirit or Frontier. You know, I am fine balling myself up in the back of somebody's plane and getting to where I need to go so I can see as much as I want to see. So because of that balance of how I spent my money, it surprised people because they're thinking like, oh, well, travel is really expensive. How are you doing that? And I'm thinking the same way you buy all that fancy stuff that you buy. Notice I am not very fancy at all. I'll be cute now. Don't get me wrong. I'll be cute. But I don't have to have the Gucci's and the this and that. Like, I am very fine with a no-name brand. As a matter of fact, I just found this sweatsuit on Amazon that was really, really cute. No-name brand at all. It's super warm, and I absolutely love it. But that's me. You know, little $40 suit, perfect. I don't need a name brand. I don't need all these big, flashy things. But that also affords me the ability to spend my money on what I do love, which is travel. So at that time, when that started to become a reality for me and I started traveling, people were like, girl, what are you doing? And how are you doing it? Where's your sugar daddy? Like, who's paying for this? Me? What do you mean? You know, and to be honest, you know, the Abu Dhabi UAE salary was pretty good considering that I didn't have to pay for housing. My light bill came every 3 months, and that might have been $10, if that, you know, really wasn't expensive at the time at all. And I didn't shop like that. So it worked out. But even with all of those things, we were so accustomed to just kind of seeing white people in these travel spaces, in these tourism spaces. So on top of, well, where are you getting the money to do this? There's also this idea of like, why are you doing this? Like, this is not something that's for us. You know, I think we inherently assume that travel is just this far-fetched idea that to pick up and just visit a different country and indulge in their foods and their activities and their practices, you know, is weird, is different, is just not something that we do. We kind of stick to our own. We stay in our comfort zone. And I get it for historical reasons, but I think it's now a time where we can say, nope, that's not my reality. I'm about to go see the world, you know, like whether it was going to do some adventurous activities like skydiving or scuba diving or, you know, eating exotic food, you know, I couldn't tell you the number of times people would say to me, especially when I came back to America on vacation or when I moved back completely, you know, people would say all the time, like, that's white people stuff. Like, you like to do those white people things. And I'd be like, what? You know, and at first I kind of laughed it off like, no, it's not. Ha ha ha. But after a while, it actually started to upset me. Like, it started to get on my nerves because it was just like, there is nothing or nowhere that should be off limits to me because I'm Black. And especially not because I'm a woman. You know, it just didn't feel fair. Like, I am that girl that goes to the bar and orders the old fashioned, orders the Manhattan, orders the whiskey neat. And people are looking at me like, you don't want a daiquiri? No, that's sweet and full of sugar. I don't want that. Bring me out the whiskey. You drink like a man. Why is everything so gendered? Why is everything about what I look like, my identity? So it's really interesting because a lot of people take for granted having to consider your identity all the time. You know, there are things that I like to do that someone somewhere is telling me is white people stuff. There are drinks that I like to drink that someone else somewhere is telling me I drink like a man. I'm just like, why can't I just be? And one thing about travel is that when I'm in the moment of traveling, especially when I solo travel, those are the moments where I feel like I could just be. I could be in a place and order a drink and no one's telling me that I drink like a man. You know, I can be in a place and try something and no one's telling me this is for white people. You know, I don't know how they see me. I don't know what they're thinking in the back of their head. Not my business. I know in that moment, though, they're not vocalizing or treating me any differently than a tourist who's just interested in what they have to offer. And that allows me to feel comfortable. Wanting to experience everything that life has to offer is something that I think a lot of people don't recognize. Also requires you to be very aware or keenly aware of how your identity shows up in that space, how your identity shows up as you try to experience something that someone thinks that you should not experience, that you would not experience, or whatever. Let me be clear. It's not always just about representation too. You know, when I talked to other Black women, especially after I came home and there were women who just had not really traveled like that yet, you know, I heard the same concerns over and over, you know, not feeling safe in certain places, asking the question, do they even like Black people over there? Like, that was a classic question. Do they like Black people over there? And I'm just like, one, they don't like Black people here. We see that. But two, how would they know? Right? How would they know they don't like Black people? I think it's really important for us to recognize that our presence alone, our very natural human presence, disrupts narratives. So if you're asking, does someone like Black people, or does a country of people like Black people, or does a group of people like Black people, they wouldn't know. They wouldn't know till you show up. Right? They wouldn't know what they like or what they don't like until you show up. They might know some celebrities that they like or don't like. They probably have made some assumptions of who you are and how you should show up. But it's not until you actually do show up that they can then figure out, oh, wait a minute, my perception of what I thought a Black woman was, especially a Black American woman, is much different than what I thought, you know? So I think that's a really interesting question that I have never quite been able to answer, because I always feel like they don't know if they like Black people until I get there. And then more than likely, by the time things are done, they'll love us, you know? And then it's not always about that. It's not always about like, oh, are they going to like me? No, you go, you enjoy yourself and you have fun. Most of the time, if you're connected to a tour guide or you're in a tour group, you know, you're around a bunch of other tourists, that's just what it is. And everyone generally is going about the same activity, the same thing. I'm not saying that racism doesn't exist in these countries. And I'm not saying that you go somewhere and everyone's going to be like, oh, hey, how are you? I mean, you're gonna get some stares and things like that. But to not go somewhere for the fear that somebody may not like you is really limiting yourself more than anything else. I really think it's important to make sure that it doesn't stop us from showing up and disrupting whatever narrative is already in place. And I feel like I've talked about that several times on previous episodes. So just my little food for thought. But in all of that, bringing it back to the main topic, because of course I went off on my soapbox. I just knew that something had to change in the realm of creating those resources that would allow Black women, especially Black women who have not traveled yet, the opportunity to see what it was like. You know, we really needed some resources to just help us gain the confidence to see the world without that restraint, without that fear, without that limitation of thinking like, well, what if they don't like me? What if they treat me badly? You know, I just felt like we really needed a space to just let each other know, like, what's your experience like? What happened? What did they say? You know, I know in one of our travel guides, I believe it's the Morocco one, the author, Satara, she talks about how, you know, she's talking to this guy in a club and he thinks it's cute to say, hey, I've never been with a Black girl before. That happens more often than you know. And it's just like, one, why do you think that's okay to say? Right. But two, it also shows how much of like this exotic factor, and not exotic in a good way, but like this like way that people see us as this thing instead of this human being. And I go back to my point that I made before, where when you're showing up in these spaces and you're showing up with all your authenticity and your humanness, then you disrupt that narrative of someone thinking of you as some kind of object to be conquered, some object to add to their list. Like, oh, there's a Black girl. Let me see if I can date her so I can say I've dated a Black girl before. Like, what? This is not just, I'm not a checklist item, you know? But it's very interesting to see how often that that happens. It's something to know, but it doesn't make me say, oh, I'm never going to Morocco. Because guess what? When I got there, and I talked about this in the last episode, nobody was trying to holler at me. They called me Bob Marley all day. And I was just like, really, y'all? Okay. I don't know if that's an insult, if that's just, you know, complimenting my locks. I don't know what this is, but I'm just going to give a little, you know, hand wave and keep it moving as long as you're not over here bothering me. So that, I mean, that was my experience. My experience was a little bit different, but it was definitely something where either way, on either side, I was different and I was called out. She was different and she was called out, you know? So it's something to be aware of, but not something to stop you from wanting to go. Cause I had a blast those 10 days that I spent solo in Morocco. Some of the other things that I always think about is just making sure that we're inspiring each other to take this leap. You know, I think that's another reason that the Traveling Black Women Network was so important to me, wanting us to experience these different things that really change the way we see the world. So I began with the self-published travel guide, Diary of a Traveling Black Woman, a guide to international travel. I know it's a very long title, right? I'm a nerd. And in that, during the time that I published this book, I was in my doctoral program. And if you know anything about being in those doctoral programs, every single article that you read is going to have a title and a subtitle. And I was just in that space, in that zone. And I came up with this really long title. It sounded great to me then. And then eventually I would, you know, shorten it to the Traveling Black Women Network. I'll talk about that in a second. But yeah, I began with the self-published travel guide, Diary of a Traveling Black Woman, a guide to international travel. And I had a couple blurbs about my experiences, but I really wanted to talk about how accessible it really is for us to travel. You know, the apps that you can use, how you can prepare. Like, it really was not the anomaly that people thought it was. It really wasn't this big, strange thing. It was really relatively easy. You know, it was really relatively easy. Like, just get up and go type of thing. I got the name because in summer 2011, I named a few of my Facebook albums, Diary of a Traveling Black Woman, followed by the country that I was visiting. So it was like Diary of a Traveling Black Woman, Greece, Diary of a Traveling Black Woman, Spain. You know, it was like that. And it was an obvious spinoff from Tyler Perry's Diary of a Mad Black Woman. But I just thought it was so cool, so cute. Like, oh, this is a cool title. And fast forward 4 years, it became the title of my first book. And now it is the title of the travel guide series. You'll still see the title or the full title on like our Facebook page. And of course, within our logo. So if you look in the logo, it actually says Diary of a Traveling Black Woman. And then in the center, it says A Guide to International Travel. So the name is still there. That is our original name. It is not going anywhere. But because it is super long, I pluralized the woman to women because I wanted to make sure that I included everybody. I wanted everybody to see themselves in this space, right? That was really, really important to me. And I'll go into why that was in a second. But I really wanted everybody to see themselves in a space. So then I created the Traveling Black Woman Network. So the reason why I felt like I needed everybody to see themselves in their space is because, and this is just me being a little bit transparent, when I came back from Abu Dhabi, I felt extremely lonely. And not just in the sense of being like, oh, I don't have any friends, or my friends were in Abu Dhabi now. Not in that sense, but in the sense of conversation, interests, things like that. I felt like I couldn't connect with people anymore without bringing up something that was obviously foreign to them. And it made me very self-conscious with, do they think I'm bragging? Or, you know, can I share that? You know, I started to hear responses like, oh, must be nice. You know, things like that, that made me say, ooh, maybe I shouldn't have shared that. You know, people are sitting around talking and this kind of like shook me, like, gosh, my experiences are completely different now. Like, I am a different person in my own body. I was sitting around, I had gone to a meetup and they were talking about like fruits from Publix and Kroger. And they were comparing like, oh, Publix has better fruit and da, 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 da. And we went into talking about pineapples and the best pineapples were at this Publix and yada, yada, yada. And my happy self hops in like, oh, the best pineapples I had were in Sri Lanka and da, 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 da. And they were so sweet and we got them out the ground and they cut it up right in front of us. And it was kind of like this awkward, not quite silence. It wasn't really silent, but it was just kind of an awkward energy just kind of came over the conversation. And I remember being very aware of it and feeling like, ugh. I don't want to be that person that's just like, oh, and when I went to Rome and Paris and Italy, you know, I don't want to be that person. But at the same time, I had become that person, right? I had had these experiences that had changed me, and I had no one to talk about them with. And when I did talk about them, I felt very, very self-conscious about being that person who was bragging or who was, you know, just ick, you know? And that didn't feel good. And it made me start to think, like, these women that I hang out with or these people that I'm around, you know, they spend a lot of money on things that I would never spend money on, like I was saying in the beginning, right? At the same time, they look at me and my travels and they think that I have all this money, but I don't. So how can I bridge that gap so that way they can see that travel is attainable to them too? More importantly, I also think that it may help with the limited way that we move through life. I was looking at how the same, I guess you can say, everyone thought, everyone operated, especially my colleagues. And when I went back into teaching in Atlanta Public Schools, it was just like, everyone seemed to be like Stepford-wise, but Black, you know, like y'all not thinking differently. Y'all not doing anything differently. Like everybody has this linear way of doing things, you know, Black or white type of thinking, you know, everything that is not fitting into the cute little bubble that they expected to fit in is weird, is wrong, is something, you know, it was just so much. And I was just like, dang, these people that I'm working with have a very small mindset, and that is affecting the children that I teach. I remember having a conversation with a math teacher, and they ended up kind of blowing up at me and saying, you know, you think you all that because you went over there and taught them rich kids in Abu Dhabi. And I was like, whoa, not what I'm saying at all. And as a matter of fact, even though those kids were rich, they still acted like these kids right here. They still didn't have behavior. They were still cutting up, and they still didn't know the material that they were trying to be taught. So a lot of the things are actually parallel. Like, give me a moment. I'm not trying to, you know, but the problem that I was having was that I kept saying, well, when I was in Abu Dhabi, I can see why it made it seem like, girl, we don't want to hear about that anymore. But I also felt in my heart of hearts that I had had this experience, and it'd be really great to bring this experience back and see how I could implement it in the classroom. And wasn't nobody trying to hear me. Wasn't nobody trying to hear me about that. So I was like, all right, let me leave that alone. But to be completely transparent and honest, I did feel like if some of these teachers were just to leave this bubble for a little while, you know, some of them are looking at 20 years working in the same school in between the same couple classrooms, you know, they haven't been anywhere. They haven't experienced anything, and they're responsible for teaching the next generation, and they're kind of regurgitating the same information that keeps us locked in these same cycles of lack and limitation. And I remember thinking, like, if I could just get them to go somewhere, inspire them to go somewhere, that would not only change them, but that would change these kids that they affect day in and day out. And it was super idealistic. I started off with trying to do a nonprofit. That didn't quite work out. But it was just a matter of feeling like exposure is the common denominator between those that make it and those that just maintain the cycle, maintain the status quo. Having created this network, you know, I really wanted Black women who were interested in travel, because I wasn't about to try to, you know, convince everybody. But I know that there were some people that were interested, but just saw that as far-fetched. And in essence, that's just how TBW was born, you know, all those things. I just really wanted us to create a space that just not only celebrated Black women travelers, but also equipped us with the tools, resources, the encouragement, whatever we needed to explore the world on our own terms. Since then, I could say that I'm proud of the evolution that TBW has made over the last 10 years. Sometimes I get sad and feel like I'm not moving fast enough. I don't have 100,000 followers. I don't have like this million-dollar company, you know, and I look at other influencers and people who have zoomed right past me, and I get in my feels a little bit. I'm not even gonna lie. And I think, man, what is traveling Black women missing? But as the years go on, especially now that I've quit teaching, I'm learning so much more. You know, I was able to be a part of two fellowships run by Black women. One was with Our Village United in Atlanta, Georgia. The other one was the Boss Network with Dr. Kamika Smith. And being a part of those two fellowships, that was life-changing, to be quite honest. I got connected to an amazing accountant, Dr. Sonia with GIP Financials. I mean, she is amazing. And the way that she teaches accounting is like, oh, okay, I got it. I got this. Yeah. Okay. I know my numbers now, you know. She's just amazing. Being able to talk to some of the other people that they connected us with, you know, they even gave us some business entrepreneur therapy. And that was really good because there was also a conversation that we were able to have about, you know, the guilt that you feel when you think that you just owe the world so much, you know, and it's like, where does that come from? Why do we feel like we owe anybody anything? I don't know. But being able to talk some of those things out really helped me to start looking at how I want the Traveling Black Woman Network to evolve. And I'm just proud of how it's gone. You know, I'm starting to recognize that it really is about more than just travel. I mean, I knew that, but now I feel like it's obvious, and that makes me happy. You know, it's about reclaiming our joy, owning these narratives, like I've been saying, and just making the world see us. Because like I said before, it's not just about us showing up in these spaces and expanding our mind and, you know, transforming ourselves, but it is a mutual exchange. Because when we show up in these spaces and people don't know what to expect and they see who we are, we have change the narrative. We have owned our narrative. We have told our story. You know, we've been able to say, I'm not who you see on TV. I'm Nadine. And we're here. And we want to involve ourselves in whatever you got going on. We want to try the food. We want to be a part of this. We want to be a part of that. And one thing that I think has been commonplace when I travel, especially when I travel with my small group, it's three of others of us, or the episode where we're chatting it up on season two. But when we travel together, it's very interesting to see how people receive us, because they enjoy us. Like, they enjoy us wanting to be a part. They enjoy our questions. We sit and we talk. It's not just they kind of show up, we're tourists, and, oh, I need this. And now it feels great to have somebody come in and cook for you, let me tell you that. But to actually stand there in the kitchen and have conversations and ask them about what they're cooking and, you know, things like that, you can see that they kind of shift, like, oh, you're interested, like, in what I'm doing. You're not just here to, you know, vacates to be on vacation and da, da, da. Like, no, that's not how we travel. And realistically, when I think about how most of the other Black women I travel with, none of us are really like that. We want to know what's going on. We want to be a part of the culture for the time that we're there. We want to learn about you and your reality and the things that are going on. And I think that also brings a different dynamic to what tourism has been. It brings a more authentic vibe. And I would really think that there's probably some places that are probably looking like, bring me the Black tourists. I like them. You know, hey, I'm just saying what I've been seeing. Now that I'm seeing much more people travel, especially since 2015, when I wrote that first guide, that we are really, really changing this narrative. We've got Black Travel Alliance out there. You've got the Blacks in Travel and Tourism. You know, you've got Culture Travels. You have all these different travel group, No Madness, Black Travel Movement, just all these different groups that are out there. So I really like the fact that there are so many of us out here who are really carving out spaces to make sure we have the opportunity and the resources to travel. As a community, whether you're on social media or our private social group, you know, it is a sisterhood to really lean on, to laugh about things that, you know, you might feel like you're bragging, like I was sharing before, you know, having somebody to connect with and say, oh yeah, girl, I didn't go to Sri Lanka yet, but I had some really good pineapples in Australia. That's the conversation I want to have. I don't want everybody looking at me like, girl, who you think you are? No, tell me where yours was. Because maybe you know something more than I do. And now I got to put something on my list. You know, I want to have those conversations. And then ultimately to uplift each other, to go somewhere else. Hey, sis, it looks like you're having a hard time. Like, take a trip. You need a break. You know, you deserve a break. You deserve rest. You know, it's not escape. Sometimes people want to guilt you into feeling like you're running away from your problems. I need a break. I need a break. No one's running away from anything. You know, I need to go somewhere and just be present with something else instead of whatever has been bogging me down for however long. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. A lot of times that's exactly what you need to hit the reset button, come back and be 10 times as better than you were before. what's next for traveling black women? It's not just about the travel guides, the blogs, the socials, YouTube, or a podcast, which, you know, we absolutely love providing all of those things, but it's about building a movement, you know, and with us launching the TBW Social Club, it is about that connection and community. You know, in our last bonus episode in season 3, you had the opportunity to meet our amazing community curator, Jabrilla Carr, you know, and make sure you check out that episode if you haven't already. But inside our social club, you'll find that we have the curated travel opportunities that you've been looking for. Meetups, check-ins for solo travelers. You know, it's really a safe space to dream, to plan, and just to make those different trips happen for yourself. And then speaking of curated travel opportunities, our 2025 travel calendar is here. Small group trips are now all open for booking. Starting in March, going all the way to December, we have one trip per month. And these trips are specifically curated for travelers who are all about cultural activities, exploring historical sites, and indulging in local food and drinks. You know, they're for the women who want much more than just a simple vacation. You know, they want the opportunity to expand. They want the opportunity to be exposed to new things. They want to shift their reality and connect with the world. And they want to leave the trip feeling inspired, transformed, all the things. Now, you might be wondering, why small groups? You know, back in September 2024, we actually surveyed the community, and the data for the people that answered was very clear. Most of you preferred smaller, more intimate group trips. So we listened, and our groups range from 6 to 10 travelers each, which is why we have so many opportunities. With these 6 to 10 travelers, we're creating this more personalized experience where you truly have the opportunity to connect with your fellow travelers and immerse yourself in the culture. You know, think about it as like small groups also make it easier to just dive off the beaten path and do different experiences real quick. You know, you're able to kind of shift things on the itinerary as they happen. There's space in every itinerary for the people on that trip to say, hey, can we do something different today? Or for the leaders of the trip to say, hey, I'm seeing the vibe of this group. I want to show y'all this. And that is what I want. You can't do that with 20, 30 people. You can't do that with any more than 10 people, really. So all of our groups are 6 to 10 people each. All right. I have been running my mouth. This is different for me because, you know, usually I do these interviews and I get to kind of ask questions, and I'm a real listener. Like, I like to listen to people tell stories. So a lot of times when I'm interviewing, you know, I just let people talk. I let them share their experiences, and I enjoy hearing, you know, what it is. Even when I play it back to myself, I'm like, oh man, that was a really good conversation. I'm really glad I learned XYZ about this person. So today it feels like, oh my God, I've been talking for forever. I've been rambling. You know, here we are. So before we wrap up, I just really want to invite you to join the movement. You know, head on over to www.travelingblackwomen.com and just learn more about the TBW Social Club. You know, like I said, we have an episode on it. We have some videos on YouTube about it. We have a couple reels about it. So, you know, or you can also just send us an email at info@travelingblackwomen.com and say, hey, I want to know a little bit more about the Traveling Black Women Network, the Social Club, and all the things. Right. Also, check out our upcoming trips. So again, they're small groups. So if there's something that you see on there that you want to book, go ahead and book ASAP, because I would hate for you to wait and then it's sold out. Like Peru is right around my birthday. I made one mention of it, and in that instance, the max amount that I could bring on that trip had already signed up. Plus one. So I'm hoping I can get to 11 for that one, you know, but the reality of it is they're small. So make sure you sign up. All that being said, you'll find everything you need on our website. So I am not the expert. I know a lot. I've experienced a lot. I've seen a lot, and I can share a lot, but there's always going to be times where somebody knows more than me. So if you've traveled often, we still need you in this network, whether it's part of the social club, the Facebook group, or just answering questions on one of our social media platforms. Please feel free to be present, because another Black woman somewhere needs you. In the same vein, if you have not traveled and you've been thinking about it, especially with this year, this kind of being the year of rest for the Black women, you know, definitely tap in, ask questions. There's no question that's too dumb. So with that said, I'm going to wrap it up. My mouth is getting dry. I need some water, and I've really enjoyed this first episode. Thank you all for listening, and welcome to season 4. Until next time, keep exploring, keep thriving, and know that this is your space to transform your reality through the power of exposure. Again, make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, send a message about topics you want to cover, whatever. Just send me a message. Let's make it an unforgettable season. This is our time. This is our year. We're going to rest. We're going to prioritize our leisure. We're going to embrace travel as a lifestyle. We're going to make some things happen. All right. Y'all take care. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Traveling Black Women podcast. You can find us online at www.travelingblackwomen.com. And there you can find plenty more travel resources to help you plan your very next trip. We've got travel guides, we've got a blog, we've got our blog, and you just listened to our podcast. I look forward to seeing you around. Thanks for tuning in.